Good evening, I'm Wilma Fingerdoo, and I have a drink with an umbrella in it. And some fruit. And a little biscuit thing. And some ice. And a curly-whirly straw. What I think are gummy worms. And a salty rim.
I'm Mia Harkness, and this thing's gone all floppy. Never buy a cheap hat on the parade.
I'm Huang Kerr, and I'm having a Centauri Megagin Martini. Dysonated, not stirred.
I'm Sandy Grevis, and I'm pretty sure those gummy worms in Wilma's drinks aren't as gummy as she seems to hope. And I'm not going anywhere near her salty rim.
I'm Norma Snockers, and I have a little fun.
I love your work, Norma.
And on that note, we'd better get onto the headlines before Mia says something they need to apologise for. The pulse wave scanner rocks once more.
Scavenger strike called off.
Too hot, too messy, week 44 update.
No more hiding in the trenches as Tharg banishes wrinkles.
Galaxy Gala glows in the light of 1,000 bulbs.
As always, Atrus attests about alien activities.
New system goes a bit OP as election gets going.
In their latest update of shipboard systems, the ever-vigilant Pilots Federation stumbled upon a rather peculiar discovery. It seems that during the development of the advanced Thargoid scanner, engineers, grasping at straws as to how to make it work, re-examined the inner workings of the standard mining pulse wave scanner, which of course led them to the discovery of a cache of hitherto unread technical documents from the pilots, highlighting, pun intended, that the PWS wasn't quite working as intended. The original pulsewave scanner possessed a remarkable talent for finding misplaced keys, or uncovering what lay behind you, but when it came to identifying valuable asteroids, it proved about as useful as a rubber wrench. Having identified that they forgot to carry one, and tightened the bolts on the PWS to just the right torque setting, it had something to do with the vibrations and detection routines, the Pilots Federation swiftly intervened to save the day. Thanks to their ingenuity, the Pulsewave Scanner now boasts an upgrade that can transform ordinary asteroids into celestial superstars. Once you give the scanner a little honk, those high-yield asteroids will glow brighter than a sunbather's sun-kissed skin. Picture yourself mining away, basking in the newfound radiance and dreaming of interstellar tans. In the wake of this discovery, we managed to catch up with the ingeniously imaginative engineer, known as Ivana Nova, who was at the forefront of the upgrade development. When asked about the original blunder of the Pulsewave Scanner, Ivana quipped, "Well, turns out we were great at finding lost keys, funky-looking outcrops and cheese, but terrible at finding rocks with valuable cores. But fear not, we've ironed out the wrinkles and turned those ordinary rocks into twinkling cosmic gems." Further to this repair job, they turned their attention to the report by the anti-Zelo pilots. It appears that their trusty tool in the fight against the Thargoid menace, the advanced Xenoscanner, had a peculiar quirk. After firing, it left our intrepid pilots with a persistent blue dot dancing in their vision. One can only imagine the interstellar disco inferno that ensued as commanders valiantly battled their foes, accompanied by an unintended light show. Understandably, a number of anti-Zeno pilots filed medical claims, seeking respite from these ethereal blue polka dots that stubbornly clung to their vision. Conveniently, for a second forgetting that the usual outcome of an alien encounter of titanic proportions generally leads to the rebuy screen and a visit to the super speedy 3D clonomat for a new body. In response to their plight, the Pilots Federation took action once more. They have subtly toned down the extreme coloration of the advanced Xenoscanner's highlight effect, offering relief to our intrepid commanders. Now they can focus on defending the galaxy without having to decipher an abstract masterpiece of pulsating cerulean patterns. Farewell, cosmic blue dots. It was a visual spectacle while it lasted.
Hand in hand with the updates above, it appears that the Pilots Federation have been holding behind-the-scenes negotiations with the Scavengers and Combatant Union Meeting, or SCUM for short, who, since pilots have been allowed access to settlements on atmospheric worlds, have been staging one-mission walkouts and strikes in opposition to people coming and shooting them all the time. Media suppression by the Federation and Empire, as well as supposedly the Alliance, led to there being no record of the strikes, though pilots would often fall foul of the non-attendance, as scavengers and battle-hardened combatants would often not turn up to work, leaving missions unable to be completed, and combat zones at the mercy of the missing military. It appears that the agreement is that all piratical, scavenging and warmongering types have agreed to new pay and conditions. That means when they attack a settlement, they are committing to a full complement of ne'er-do-wells in such a way as commanders can put just the right amount of them to sleepy, sleepy night-night time and cash in on their missions. There are rumours that despite this, a few of the scavengers have taken to arriving as instructed and going walkabout in a straight line from the settlement until such time as their oxygen expires, and so do they. Rather an extreme form of protest, but commanders are reminded to be on the lookout for scavengers making a beeline for the horizon in an effort to not become cannon fodder for the galaxy's most notorious of mopping up teams, Flossie and her rocket pan. In protest at the lack of protest by the scum, a number of engineering firms responsible for turrets and war zones appear to have made a few adjustments. On a go slow on bringing turrets back online, they've said that the statutory 2-minute SEV-1 repair time on gimbaled anti-ship systems is far too swift, and instead they've decided that 10 minutes is far better repair cycle, giving their team long enough to arrive, make a cuppa, suck through their teeth at the damage, and flip the on switch from it's fucked to pew pew. No one's complaining about this, as it means Commander Deadmeat GF and his mobile missile boat has more time to blanket the area in concussive munitions and mop up the miscreants before popping out on foot to give his team a decisive victory.
After 44 weeks or 10 months, the Too Hot, Too Messy, the Hot and Lead Initiative to deliver a Hot and Mug and Centauri Megagen to all the stations in the galaxy has recorded over 78,000 deliveries. Weekly deliveries were up last week to over 15,000, increasing the 4-week average by 30-odd to 1,358 deliveries a week. One new commander joined the effort this week, increasing the overall number signed up to 290 commanders, representing 95 squadrons. Hutton still has the largest contingent, with 93, who have delivered over 41,000 mugs, more than half the total. And thanks go to all the other squadrons taking part in delivering the other, well, almost half. The Buckyball Racing Club are still in second place with almost 4,700, with the Winged Hussars holding third with over 3,100, and the Paladins are still in fourth with almost 1,900. The Burpit are still 300 behind them in fifth. The Order of 12 are still closing fast on the Burrs, now only 80 behind them in sixth, and the Anti-Xeno Initiative are another 100-odd behind them in seventh. The Soteria Corps are 8th and the Undead are 9th, concluding the 1000 Club. Im, the one with no life, is still leading the deliveries table with over 11,000 mugs delivered. Some say that he's delivered 1 in 7 of all deliveries. Waller 81 is 2nd with over 9,300, ahead of Nem in 3rd with over 6,000. Shay Blackwood is in 4th with almost 4,600, ahead of Infinite Dreamer in 5th. With over 2,800. Next comes LDSK, with Talking Mouse storming into 7th, leapfrogging both Risa Lang and last week's mug winner Border Reaver, who now in 9th. The 1000 Club still has 13 members, Of course, we know all this because it's tracked live in the Too Hot, Too Messy event page in the Hot and Helper. In addition to trying to impress the Apex Taxi Lady with your mugging prowess, and let's face it, she's really only interested in your layover potential, there is a chance to win a real-world handle at a Georgie Angle dishwasher-safe self-cleaning, so that you don't have to hot mug. Any commander that delivers 10 mugs and gin in the weekly Thursday to Thursday period will be entered into next week's draw to win a real hot mug, unless, of course, you already have one. 43 lucky commanders have accomplished this so far, and you can see a little golden mug next to their name in the top commanders table. Last week's winner was Border Reaver, so let's keep listening for this week's winner to be announced in the banter bit after the news. If you had delivered 10 mugs and gin in every week since the start, 9-10 months ago even, you'd have racked up at least 440 deliveries, and only 32, or 1 in 10 of signed up commanders, have managed this. If you haven't, why not give it a try and share the burden? In order to join in the fun, you'll need to sign up by downloading the Hutton Helper from hot.forthemug.com/download, and then you can sign up and your mug and gin deliveries will be automatically registered for you by Antares' non-GMO, grass-fed, low-cholesterol, replicant hamsters, which might come with a limited lifespan, but they do cry real tears in the rain.
Before we head to Atus 5060 later in this broadcast for an update on the Thargoid War, there's worrying news that Tharg the Mighty has plugged a hole in his defences. The wrinkly and gnarled exterior of the Thargoid Titans had been providing just the right kind of hidey hole for all sorts of pilots. Not really the anti-Xeno ones that were doing all the damage, as they'd far rather be out in the open challenging anything exuding green goo to a space rattle. More the intrepid reporters and photographers of the galaxy who were taking to finding a deep crevice to stick their python in and taking as many snaps as they could of the Thargoids. Ever vigilant in preserving his or her or their privacy, and not being a fan of the kind of upper carapace shots these pilots were taking, Tharg the Mighty has been in court this week bemoaning the underhand tactics used by the media to get just the right snap of his minions' most embarrassing moments. No longer will we get the shots of the glaives scraping through the walls of the Titans, or watch caustic missiles harmlessly impacting on the surface of the trench. And Tharg's definitely not up for Alec Turner organising races through the ridges and folds of his mega mighty minions' rippling bodies. It tickles! Nearby interceptors have been given instructions to follow commanders into the trenches and make sure that they don't find the small exhaust port. Xeno photographers will have to find a new way to take their videos, but we're sure that whether it be hiding next to the custard pot in the middle of the Titan or using a passing asteroid for cover, they'll find a way to end up a prize winner in the next Stellar Screenshots competition, even if from the vantage point of an occupied escape pod using a very long lens.
Shipboard party supplies firm Galaxy Gala have announced that their 3308 range of party lights to turn your festive beluga into a 70s disco haven have been retired after complaints that the string lights collection was about as bright as a federal presidential candidate. It turns out that their previous range came not in vibrant blue, reactor red and sunspot yellow, and was better described by pilots as hazy sky, dim pinkish and bee vomit. Ever aware of a customer's need to be put into the party mood whilst engaging in combat, and of course get a suntan regardless of their natural skin tone, Galaxy Gala have used the latest in LED technology to upgrade their 3309 range to give off bright tones that leave you wondering whether that flash you saw was a passing comet or just one of the string lights drifting across your vision. They've provided a free upgrade to anyone who bought their previous versions. There's no word at the moment whether the paint pack pushers of the Pilots Federation have an answer yet to their versions of gold, goldy, shiny pyrite, or goldish paint jobs that in recent years have tarnished from gleaming, polished, ostentatious Midas appearances to the kind of thing that Tony Robinson would dig up in your back garden after making a few exploratory trenches, using a geophys team for a week and getting all unreasonably excited about fragments of small pots. Your hut in Decal, however, remains highly visible against all paint packs, proudly proclaiming your allegiance to all things silly to anyone able to get close enough to see it.
Good evening, trackers! Itis 56 reporting in with the latest updates for you on the Tharkoids War. Tharg has been kept at bay across many of the milestones, and we can now probe the Titans with our new scanners! That'll make the rise, Walter. And you see, the scanner was launched by Prof Palin at Aegis this week, which finally allows commanders brave enough to fly to the heart of the maelstroms to scan the Thargoid Titans. These scans have been revealed, new surface ports for research limpets to dock and harvest samples, which can then be sold to the rescue ships located across the bubble for further study. Aegis hopes that these collected samples will reveal something that can be useful in defeating these motherships. On the war front, the AX community had another huge week with 69 systems defended and only 4 active invasions this week. Hexwing was very productive with its allies in the Alliance defending a total of 8 systems this past week. The Thargoid alerts and invasions were stopped in HIP 23719, HIP, or is it HIP 26274, Coco, or Kunuma, Holo Vandala, Ida, and Laumas. We here at Haxcom would like to thank all trackers and allies who assisted in the effort. We value your continued support in the war against the Thargoids. Haxwing will start this week through the Kokijo Maelstrom. Your orders will be to thwart the invasion of Escalate and move on to any populated alerts after we move on to the next maelstrom. The outpost Newton Port is under attack, so be prepared for no large landing pads to be available in orbit. Evac pilots will supply runners. Evac pilots and supply runners are urged to work out of the operational outpost and planetary ports to help defend the system. Let's get out there and defend humanity once more, trackers! For the bank!
You okay? Do you need to have a little lie down now? Good. Anyway, things are beginning to move a little more once in Hutton Space this week. 6 systems are in the remedial class and the board has a couple of minor alerts. And one a bit less minor. More on those stories coming up. Last week's second lowest system has outdone itself by losing a further 2 points, dropping it from 30 to 28. Additionally, 36 off Yuki has managed to get itself into an election with the second place faction, Sol Workers' Party, and Hutton is now 3-1 down, fighting to keep control of its second newest system. We need to win today and the next 2 in order to hold on to this hard-won system. Yes, it may be 0.14 light-years to the important bits, but that's only 2/3 of a Hutton run, and you are, after all, truckers. So let's show those fools from Sol what Alpha Centauri's best can do when the chips are down, our backs against the wall, things are looking a bit iffy and the odds are stacked against us and we're up a side canyon with no apparent means of propulsion. So stuff those ballots and mander those jerrys like you never have before. Sol Workers' Party, we've upped our game, so up yours too. Epsilon Eridani fell 4 points in the week from 36 to 32, but this was largely caused by the outbreak of mods reported here last week. The outbreak was quickly relieved, and I hope you're enjoying the swollen feeling in your bank accounts, you profiteering bar stewards. Joining Epsilon Eridani on 32, making it third lowest and turning regular visits to the zone of concern into permanent residence is LP525-39, which lost yet another point, making it 5 in 4 weeks. The system is a clear board with nothing of note going on, so feel free to go in there and boost Hart's interests. The notoriously hard-to-move Epsilon Indy has arrested its downward trend, gaining 3 points in the week, leaving it on 34. A point above it is Hill Pass Iron 35. Last week's low system on the pole, Stein 2051, has managed to catapult itself from the low of last week's 29, a whole 8 points up to 37. Had the cruiser Boeming Station and Ready Landing managed a third Weetabix, they might have managed to achieve escape velocity from the naughty step. Still, it's a fine achievement, helped no doubt by a cadre of trusty truckers who answered last week's BGS call. Two systems which escaped the zone of shame in the week are none other than the previous poor performers Ross671 and You Know Where Barnard Star, which has also achieved this with an ongoing infrastructure failure. So ship in power generators and water purifiers if you need to make a quick buck. LHS 340 is on 68 and is suffering from an outbreak, but since we can afford to let some air out of its economy, leave it to fester a little before shipping in meds. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have 5 systems above 60%, one of which, PSPF-LF2, is on 70. Priorities this week are, if you want to truck something, and the answer is yes, you do, win the election in 36 off Yuki.